You're listening to In the Right Mind with Chris Wright, a show that takes a deep dive into the human spirit, where we share stories of hardship and hope, told by people from all walks of life. Chris is a certified health and wellness professional and, like his guests, has overcome profound challenges to achieve success and happiness. Through them, we learn what it takes to live life in the right mind.
We got Greg Sheridan, and we are doing a year-end review of your business, Galtech Services. And you were the first interview that I had ever for my podcast. So you hold the badge for that, for what it's worth. And I wanted to just talk with you about how your year's been and what it's been like to be an entrepreneur, how it's, you know, changed your life, maybe mentally, financially, all of the things that entrepreneurs or people who are aspiring to be business owners probably question themselves about before ever pulling the trigger to start a business or to invest in a business or, you know, whatever the dream might be for people. So you're a good use case, you know, for somebody who is taking this on full force, taking it on as a full-time job. This isn't like some side hustle for you. So I would love to get into it with you. So I appreciate you doing this again, man.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Obviously, from the last to now, even more has changed. Like the very first podcast, very first interview to now, there's just been a lot of change. But you and I talked about what you're doing, which is the podcasting, the interviewing, really shedding light on some things. And I think that what I've been doing with the Tech Exec series, which has been branding and marketing, has really helped. The ability to talk to people en masse is key. And that's really helped. The Tech Exec series that I do kind of monthly has been great for really understanding, you know, the marketing, the talking to people, who and what we should be focusing on. And looking at what you've been doing and what I've been doing and kind of just whittling it down to like focus has been the big game changer for me since we talked last. If we unpack and roll all the way back to a year, I mean, it's been a crazy 12 months. We've gone through like just, and I'm talking about like on a high level, like there's been so much that's gone on outside of my control. But at the end of the day, all I've been able to focus on is what I can do incrementally. So I'm really looking forward to 2023 because of it.
Yeah. I think, you know, going back a little bit, so your exec series, I know that is something that you jumped off with pretty early on with the business. And I like the fact that you get in touch with stakeholders, essentially, who have a say. Like, you know,
yeah, four kids just walked into my room. Like, just
I love it.
Like, yeah, just walked in to kind of take things. Can you leave? Are you?
Further evidence that being a business owner and working for yourself creates disruptions, which I think that's perfect timing.
And yeah.
Absolutely excellent that happened.
Hey, Lachlan, are you? Can you go outside, please? And close the door. Thanks, Blake.
We're totally keeping this in the podcast, by the way.
That's cool. You can totally do that. Thank you. So you were talking about the Tech Exec series and just like the whole business aspect of it. I didn't do the Tech Exec series to figure out the people that I wanted to work with. I did the Tech Exec series originally to market, but also to have a platform for sharing of information. I think like sharing is a great way to build a brand, right? There's like adversarial personality types in business, and then and it's kind of like a misunderstood, like it's me against the world concept. From my perspective, like there's enough for everybody, so everybody should be working together. Rising tide raises all ships. So that was the whole idea with the Tech Exec series. But what has actually happened is I've had like a handful of people reach out to me asking me to meet with them, not to interview them, but to like learn more about my business, like to learn more about, hey, let's talk about like vendor management, like private equity. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's trying to start a a private equity meetup in Denver. They do it in 15 locations around the country. Denver is an area that they're focusing on because there's quite a lot of private equity money and private equity just private equity action in Denver. And they were like asking me questions like, where would you host a private equity event? Like, what kind of sponsors do you think would attend? What kind of sponsors do you think would actually, you know, sponsor? And usually when you're talking about sponsors, you're talking about vendors, like,
right,
you know, accounting, finance.
I mean, with anything like that, I say this from experience doing my own thing, right? I mean, you're diving into the education aspect as well, which is really important because, yes, it could, to your point, if I'm somebody who wants to start a business and I'm curious how I'm going to generate new business, this is a good outlet to do that. So audio, video, visual, and audio learning about business has become such an essential part of building trust and credibility as a business. So there's definitely that element of it. And people saying, oh, okay, I see this person, they're talking to people like me, who yeah. like their product, who like their service. But there's also the educational aspect of it, right? And to your point with the investment side or the VCs or, you know, funding groups, they're looking at this saying, oh, okay, well, Greg is a connector of people. So he's interfacing with the types of folks that I might invest with, right? Or he's going to be able to give me some insight into the industry. So one of the things that I believe people overlook in business or starting a business is getting outside of that instant gratification of, okay, I need business, I need it now, right? Rather than playing the long term of, okay, I need to be an educator in my business. I need to be a subject matter expert. And the only way I'm going to be a subject matter expert is if I take time that's not revenue generating as a business yeah. owner to talk to and understand what these people care about, what they need, how can people help solve their problems. And you're taking a step out of your own business because now you're inviting competition to see that, right? So it takes a lot of humility and being humble and really wanting to be passionate about educating the yeah. workforce rather than hiding, you know, behind your office doors and not sharing your knowledge, right? So I think that's something that you've done a really good job of. And you've had some great interviews with people talking about their experience and, you know, what their pain points are and how they would like to solve them. So I just want to call that out. You know, there's two pieces of it and you've yeah. done a good job of that.
So there, you're adding legitimacy, right? Because you're showing that you're able to understand people's pain points, you're able to understand conversations, you're able to listen, and then you're able to kind of formulate responses, and that you're not just trying to get to like a base answer. It's more like solutions. And that's where I tell people 100%. I work in, is like solutions is what's required, especially in technology. But I think in general, everything's becoming more complex. From like the time you meet a person who's a buying persona or somebody who you want to work with, right up until like, you know, you're on the other side of the deal and you're like managing like the relationship and you're making sure people are happy and, you know, you're facilitating communication and all that. It's like understanding everything from yeah. The business, what that particular person wants, what their interaction is required, like what their idea of success looks like. And that comes from just like really good questions and really good understanding. And the idea of the Tech Exec series was to like flow how to all interview and get information from people and then what that information looked like to help you formulate like a good outcome for that person that you're working with. But yeah. that works too, right? Because you got to think about it from like a mental health standpoint, like understanding like what the issue is through good questions is another thing too. It's like, you know, you even internally like asking yourself like the right open questions rather than just coming totally. To a conclusion.
Sales and mental health and psychology are all synced together, in my opinion, right? And your point prior about asking the questions and making sure you understand what the actual need is, that's such an intricate part of the sales cycle. And as somebody who's been in sales a long time, just like you, every new person that comes on at Samsara or that I have the pleasure of mentoring or training or working with, one of the first things I always tell them is sales is 100% about psychology. It's not going into it and saying, okay, well, what do you need? Do you guys have telematics? Do you have dash cameras? Or let's take your business as an example. Are you guys using staffing agencies? Right? Those questions immediately put a guard up to the end user. So an easier way to go about that, right, is to your point, what you're doing is asking those questions. So instead of going in with what you do and seeing if they do it, approaching it as, I know a lot of people in your industry have struggled with this problem. I'm just curious if this is something that's important to you, right? That's a lot different than saying, do you use staffing companies? Because yeah. You're asking the same question, but you're allowing them to educate you on what their particular experience is, because you're never going to have a successful sales experience or sales cycle with a customer if you don't truly understand what their need is, right? And this goes a lot into gap selling and understanding, what is the problem? Is there a problem that I can actually solve? I mean, you don't know if you can solve a problem going right into a call, right? So if you're going into it just saying, hey, this is what I do, and they don't internally have that issue or they don't think they have that issue, you just come off as a salesperson. So there's some humility that goes into this, or taking ego out of it. If you go into a call, and I do this all the time at work, if I go into a call and I say, you know, here's some common pain points that I see, you know, walk me through your process. What is important to you? Is maintenance important to you? Is coaching your drivers important to you? If there's answer is something that I can't solve, or I don't feel comfortable or confident that I can solve it and give them a great experience, I won't do it, right? I mean, so you have to be able to take that and build credibility that way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And they may want to work with you later, or you may have talked to them about something that they're like, oh, that's great, but that's further down our like project lifecycle, or in your case, like, totally. You know, product lifecycle. And that's definitely important. And then you can like look at that like on a grander scale, again, just going back to what we were originally talking about, which is like understanding from a business standpoint, and owning a business, understanding your why going forward, like why you get up every day, do what you do, and relating that to again, success. I've learned that this is a long-term game. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So, right. And I suppose at the end of year one, from my perspective, definitely looking forward to 2023, 2024, and just whatever growth will come. Again, you know, looking at it from a business standpoint, it's going to be based around what I've done previous, and not like, you know, overextending myself, because that was one of the things early on that I was doing, was like, I should be doing more, but I can't. So kind of going a little easier on myself and understanding that like time is limited, and also I have limitations. Right. So yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it. Business is exciting from my perspective. I'm looking forward to 2023. How about you and Samsara? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, no, it's great. Couple questions about your business though.
Go ahead. I'm trying to have this kind of conversation dialogue. You're like, definitely.
I'm punching it, man, because I'm interested in this. You know, like you're.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Over 2022, what's been your two questions? One, what's been the hardest obstacle, the most difficult obstacle you've had to face? And then on the flip side of that, what's been the biggest success you had in 2022 as a business owner?
Oh, that's a good question. And obviously people like to answer those questions. The biggest obstacle I'll start with, myself, not to be like philosophical or to try and like skirt around something that happened in work. Like I've figured out that I'm mentally lazy on certain things. Like I'm really mentally lazy when it comes to like record keeping, and not notes in a database. That's fine, because I understand that, but it's more like record keeping for finances, record keeping for like expenses, record, like I hate that stuff. I hate Excel spreadsheets. I have a master's degree in economics and business administration, and I don't like use it at all, which a lot of it was Excel related. I hated it. It's why I got into sales. So I've learned that I definitely need to, you know, hire people or outsource more of like the menial tasks that I've had. The wins, I probably have accelerated the consulting part of the business that I've done a lot faster than I thought I would. I have a handful of consultants working right now, which is great. And then just the brokerage side, like things that I thought were slower sales cycles and are, quite honestly, are starting to like fall into place as like the year has gone on. So it's that has been really has been a real positive, because for me, that's like true relationships, because and high level relationships, people in companies that are, you know, they basically are sponsors of bringing vendors in on a, you know, on large scale deals. So that's been a success for me.
That's great. No, that's awesome. I mean, I also have a hard time with anything operational. I hate keeping track of anything, to be honest with you. I've always had a hard time with Salesforce, and I mean, every boss that I've ever had will tell you that I'm absolutely terrible at keeping notes, but you know, I own my strengths. I know what I'm good at, and I try to improve just a little bit every day. And that's all you can do, right? What about, you know, like on the personal side, the family side, being a business owner now, how have you had to adjust your time management and the way that you approach meetings? And because it's not like you're in a corporation, like when you and I used to work together, it would be we'd go out for lunch, we'd be in the office, you know, from 8 to 5 or whatever, and we would go out, we'd have lunches, right? It's different being at home, because now you're around family, you have the kids, right? So what changes did you have to make? What habits did you have to change doing that and adjusting to that?
I have like I have like things like that are demarcations throughout the day on my calendar. I calendar a lot of stuff, which is great, which helps me because I follow my calendar pretty religiously. But the, you know, first part of the day is definitely doing the work that I hate the most, right? It's like, yeah, doing little bits of manual entry and then reaching out to people that I don't know. So not cold calling, because it's not calling, but reaching out to people for like projects that I have that they would be good for. Or people in organizations that I've already got like contracts with that I'm just trying to work with. But the that is like, get that out of the way, because I'm in my best mood, I have the most amount of like positive energy, let's say. And then as the day goes on, I'll move into more of a like stuff that I kind of like to do, which is like coordinating with clients to set up meetings, to like follow on like status meetings, interviews, requirements gathering, that kind of thing. And then I'll flow into the end of the day, which is kind of just more like planning and thinking about like what I need to do for the next day. So I have that's how my day is structured. And I kind of formulated that because I listen to a lot of podcasts on like energy expansion, over a day, over a week, over a month, what that looks like, you know, trying to get up early, get some sunlight in early on, because that's really good for energy. Go for a little run, movement, like all that stuff is super important. And it actually works. Once you start doing it, it's like it's really powerful.
Right. You can't just like go into the office and forget about your day at the end of the day and mope around. It's your life is your business now, and it's everything. Yep. And to your point about being, especially in a sales facing environment, right, where you have to get new business, you're managing the whole cycle at this point. So you're managing the new business development, the account management of the business development, the finances, the customer success, all that. So you've been forced to really break apart your time and make sure that you're prioritizing your time differently.
Yeah. I gotta focus. I've definitely been quote unquote robbing Peter to pay Paul, which is I have probably neglected some of the operational stuff to move the business along. So I've had quite a lot of success, but now I'm kind of like over the next couple of weeks, I'll have to like get all my accounts in order, which is such a pain in the ass to give to my accountant, and you know, make sure all the notes from previous like meetings I've had make sense, because I've got like a lot of follow ups in January for stuff that's going to happen in 2023. I have to, you know, really understand before I get on a call again with, you know, people or meet people again, like what it is we talked about last time. So there's like all that, which, you know, it's And I did that by design as well, because I needed to like force myself to understand how operations works. So I mean, I forced myself to not take on any debt in the first year to hire people, which I was very close to doing a couple of times, like, because I felt like I needed it, like, to be able to like give menial tasks that I could, and that you can't really automate. You can automate, but you know, mistakes will be made along the way. And what happens is, like, people won't get paid. And if people don't get paid, then that's like serious trouble. Like, I'm in serious trouble. So you can automate some of that. And I have, that was the one thing I did, was actually outsource payroll, because it was taking a long time. Now that I understand how it all works more, like, I think this year I've kind of decided that I'm going to hire two people, maybe three, if the business comes in, if the business is good enough, although we don't know with 2023, but that's the plan.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're at the point now, I mean, just a year in, that you're thinking about hiring more people. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yep. I have definitely my budget to hire at least one person. And then hopefully a second one by the end of maybe Q2.
That's a huge success. I mean, that's amazing. And are you profitable yet? I mean, as you know, year one, end of year one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I've been able to pay back the money that I used from my savings to buy all the systems and marketing. I was able to pay myself back, help with some bills this year in the family home, and then have like enough left over to be thinking of hiring someone on an hourly basis starting maybe February. So yeah.
Wow. Now what's the play on that? Are you going to hire somebody locally, or are you going to take kind of the outsourcing route to get, you know, maximize time?
I don't know yet. It's all open for debate. It's all up in the air. And it's just more like planning what I want to do. How much of my time do I want to manage, or do I still want to be like focusing all my time and attention on individual contribution? Because if I want to focus all my time on individual contribution, then I'll probably work with an outsource provider just to kind of supplement already the process that I have in place, which would be a good way to do it. But I definitely need like an operations manager, an operations assistant. So that's going to be my first, is going to be somebody to come in to help me with, like, and I've already written a job description and kind of started focusing on who I'd like to work with. But yeah, I need someone that's like really super organized and keeps me like on the straight and narrow with organization. That'll be the first.
I'm out, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't hire me though. You know what I mean? I don't need a second Greg in my life. I don't need a Christopher in my life.
Hire me either. So I mean,
there you go. Not for this. Knowing your strengths and weaknesses are super important. Like, that is probably the biggest key early on in a startup. If you are like a founder, to know where your weaknesses are and own them and be honest with everybody around you, these are my weaknesses. Yeah. And, you know, it takes a while to get to that, right? Because you're, like you mentioned earlier, like, you're taking the ego out of it. And that's what I have tried to do this year. That's been the person.
Which is hard.
Yeah. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. Personally, that's been the biggest learning experience for me. I know I suck at stuff that's, you know, associated with organization, menial tasks that I don't enjoy doing. And if you don't enjoy it, you can make yourself do it for a while, Broncos. But you're not going to do it forever. Go Broncos. We need a head coach here soon. So that'll be the first. But yeah, it's been good. Like, it's been a good learning experience. And I definitely think now the proof of concept has been proven, and it's now like, how do I scale this? So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of sounds like if you were to give any pieces of advice to somebody looking to do it, own your downfalls, right? Own where
own your weaknesses.
You struggle. Yep.
Work on them a little bit, because you need to understand them as a business owner.
And prioritize your time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually really well put. I absolutely know your weaknesses, work on them a little bit, but don't let them own you, because if you try to be really good at one thing, you probably let the other stuff slip. And the whole idea is, and the way I did it, and I'm just talking from the way I did it, I did not take on any debt. I started this business myself. I did everything myself. Did not grow, people-wise. And I focus a little bit on what I'm bad at, but you got to keep moving forward, right? There's like, there's going to be stuff that happens along the way that you're going to have to deal with, like important stuff, like stuff that's related to financials, to being successful financially. Your next step needs to be like moving forward, whatever that looks like, making a phone call to a new client, a prospective, like all that stuff shouldn't stop because something bad happened, you know, like over here, if that makes sense.
So. No, it totally makes sense. I mean, I just talked to this guy a couple days ago, a week ago. I don't remember. The days run together anymore. But ex-Navy SEAL, Marty Strong. And one of the things that he said that really stuck out to me, because he's an entrepreneur, business owner. Now, he's obviously, as a Navy SEAL, very structured. And, you know, he kind of had his path to getting to the end. But a big piece of wisdom that he shared with me was, you know, he woke up in the morning, and one of the first things he did was he took 20 minutes to write a paragraph or a few sentences of his book. He's got several books now, by the way, but he did that for 2 years, just 20 minutes, did his writing, and then moved on with his day, kind of structured it out, right? And he just got into this like repetitive habit of doing that. And in 2 years, he had a book. It was a, you know, a bestseller, and now he's an author. You would have never thought he was an author. So I look at that as anything that I struggle with or things that I need to improve on, I can take just a little bit of time every day or set, you know, some time aside and really work on whatever that is. So for me, that might be operationally, like go in every morning, spend 20 minutes in Salesforce and update some things, and then just start building the habit of doing it. By the way, Sam, Sarah, I'm not going to do that. I hate Salesforce, but I'm just using this as an example. It's a way that you can slightly and slowly improve your, you know, your habits, essentially, right? It's like working out or changing your diet. You know, the more you do it. And
it's reps.
Right, it's reps. And it's all hard. There's never really an excuse for why you can't do something. I mean, the ultimate decision maker in why you don't do something is just your inability to build the habit. And it's not easy. Nobody's saying it's easy. It's extremely difficult. We all struggle with it. I struggle with it. It's really hard to get into that cadence, as you will, of doing something over and over, especially if your mind already thinks that it's not an enjoyable task. So you have to rewire your brain to have a reward system for it, right? Because that's how our brains work. There has to be a reward system. Making it into a more exciting or productive or engaging habit takes time, but it's doable.
Yeah. The rep idea and the reward system is really good for changing habits. And I read somewhere, I want to say like, I think it takes like 3 weeks, like 21 days to really start a habit. And then I want to say like 90 days for it to become like part of your life. So like, as in it, you'll consistently, if you can get to like the first 3 months or 90 days or whatever, then it's very hard to lose that habit if you're able to consistently do it and build a schedule. You know, if you go like, you know, balls to the wall for 90 days working out, and you like pull muscles and you're like, you know, and after 90 days, you like, you take a break for 4 or 5 weeks. Like that's not going to work. Right. Or you take another, you take a month off. But like, if you build a schedule, you follow the schedule for 90 days and it actually fits into your life well, then you'll keep it going.
Yeah. Build moderation, you know, too. Right. Like don't, like the working out thing, don't go buck wild because you want it to change overnight, because you're just going to discourage yourself. I mean, you look at, I can't remember what book it was, but you look at habits in a way, like you wake up in the morning, and what's like one of the first things you do? You go and you turn the light on in the kitchen or the bedroom or whatever it is. That's not something I cognitively think about. I just do it.
No.
So that
I do. I tell you, and I'll tell you why. I just because I think this is important. We're coming up to like New Year's Eve, right? And people are going to be talking about habits and resolutions and stuff like that. So like, I have, and I was writing down resolutions because I do it every around this time every year. I have to stop waking up and looking at my phone. It's the first thing that I do every day, because that's what kills a lot. And that's like a procrastination. I hate the saying, but procrastination station right there. It's like you basically lie there on your phone for 30 minutes before you get out of bed. And it's like, okay, what could I have done for that 30 minutes? It's actually better than like reading the BBC Sport like website, which is what I do. right? It's what I do every morning. And then I'll read like a couple of like news articles or whatever. And then it's like, I'm like already behind trying to get, you know, up and out, get the kids up and out, get ready. To your point though, like having those moderation, those bits and pieces, like I'm sure Marty wouldn't have written a book in 2 weeks or in like, you know, 2 months, if he had done, you know, 5 hours every day or 10 hours every day, like, you know, 20 minutes. And he probably had his, like, his mental process towards writing a book probably changed and ebbed and flowed over those 2 years too. Even like storylines, I'm sure, because like 2 years is a long time to make decisions on certain things. Same with working out, you know, you may start out in 3 months, realize you don't want to be the shape you want to be, or with a business, same thing. You may want to do a different business after 2 to 3 months, you know. It's and you know, you can go on about the psychology of like, what is the definition of done? It's like a linear, it's not linear, but it's a continuous iteration of growth.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's at least in my mind, it's always 100 or nothing. I mean, it's like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do it now. And that's kind of the ADD, or, you know, some of the way my brain is wired. But yeah, it's taking it slow.
Do you not think you've grown out of that though, a little bit though?
I mean, yeah, I have grown out of a lot.
Matured a little bit. You've kind of matured a little bit.
But that came with a lot of work.
Yeah. And don't let the glasses fool me.
The glasses fool me, people. Yeah. It's taken a lot of time. There's still a lot of work I need to do, obviously. I mean, I look at improvement as a lifelong kind of journey, as you will. So it's just, I never imagined I'm just going to be this perfect human being to myself. You know, there's always going to be mistakes that I make. There's always going to be bad decisions, impulse purchases, right? Like, there's always going to be those things. But as long as I am aware of it and I practice the emotional intelligence behind it, like I'm self-aware. And that's the hardest part, is being aware that you're doing something and acknowledging that it needs to change potentially. That's so hard to do. And that, once you get to that point, which I'm starting to like really get to that, like I do something and I look at it and I'm like, oh, like I really like doing this, but I need to change it. And what do I need to do to change it? That's the hardest part. It's just acknowledging that the problem exists and that it needs to be changed. In my opinion, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I'd say you're right. Acknowledging that it needs to be changed and then doing something about it, turning inaction into action is the hardest part. And I talk to my wife about this a lot and other people a lot, but kind of more recently my wife, just about the procrastination, but knowing it's bad for you, yet still doing it because you, whatever it is you're doing, you like doing it, you know, like sitting there, like looking at your phone, whatever the instant gratification is. And I think knowing that instant gratification is not going to lead to success long term if you have a long term plan, like owning a business or, you know, trying to build a brand, or all that takes time, and it's tiny little incremental wins, and you may have to forego, you know, eating late at night or being on your phone early in the morning or whatever that may be, whatever your resolutions or your plans are. And you know, as I've gotten older, I've realized that is actually the case. I used to be like you just said there. It's like everything's a sprint, right? It's 100% for 2 to 3 months, and then you don't see the desired outcome that you thought you were looking for, and then you're like, oh, sure, what am I doing this for anyway? I'm just gonna like gorge on a pizza or spend a lot of money and give up. And it's like, no, it takes a lot longer. Like, you know, like going back to like the workout thing, like I read an article a long time ago that it takes 5 years to completely transform your body type. Like you can get all this. Yeah, you can have all these like yo-yo diets that do make you look really good, or go on these like supplements that will help, and you can get that picture in like 3 to 6 months depending on your body type or whatever. But if you really want to like change the actual like physiological makeup of your body, like it takes roughly around 5 years. So it's stuff like that. But like if you think about like that, just from physiological like outcomes, like, and then like apply that kind of like thinking to like business or like a sales role, or like even, you know, managing like a business within a large organization, like outcomes are slow when it's just not you involved in the outcome. You know, like, absolutely, if it was you going from point A to point B, that's kind of easier because that's just very binary. It's like, but anyway, I talk about this because I think about this stuff all the time when like things aren't going so well. It's like, it's not just this particular situation in my life or this scenario. It's like a bunch of other stuff that I have to work hard on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, it's a process. It's something that takes time. You know, don't get ahead of yourself. Something I'm saying all the things I should be working on, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, you got to write them down on a piece of paper. These are your resolutions now for 2023.
Yes.
What about you? What's your resolution for 2023 with your role and what you're doing here?
Yeah, you know, with all the stuff with the podcast and the content, I mean, my biggest resolution for this specifically is to create and drive like a healthy mission statement, you know, like where I'm able to provide like a tangible product via content, if that makes sense, right? Like I want to be able to have a mission and put into practice, you know, items that follow that mission. So I just did like a poll on LinkedIn yesterday about maybe doing, you know, an open mic thing for mental health, or, you know, putting more time and effort into backing up whatever that mission is, because I do have one now. I mean, it's more derived around being open, you know, about mental health and business and working through what may be considered taboo topics, you know, in and outside of work. But there's really, outside of just the conversational piece, there's really not much that I'm doing to provide value to that. So I mean, I'm working on new ways. So that's for the business, that's my new year resolution, or the podcast. It's not really a business, more of a passion project than anything, but I don't make any money from this. So that's that. I mean, you know.
That's good. I mean, you're basically trying to build, and on a passion project or on something that is a hobby, usually they're the things that we care most about. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's good. And what about business? What about family? Like any resolutions there?
Yeah, I mean, this year the family and I are really diving into like what we can do more of together. So like to your point about the habits of just being on the phones or not doing much, right? Like one of the things in 2022 that I think got a lot of people is just not doing things together, right? Like just being inside. And that's kind of the culture that we're starting to build with, you know, post COVID, I guess. So being able to go out more, like plan days where we do things, we go on vacations, take time to just refresh and, you know, reground ourselves. And that's a big push this year. That's and I know you and your family, you know, you guys go to the mountains and so you do a lot of, so doing stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. We've gotten even more intentional about it this year though, because it is important. Yeah. Like habits, bad habits are easy to form. They're hard to get rid of. And I think that like with COVID, a lot of people have formed bad habits, like, or the pandemic, and bad habits are like, oh, let's just stay in. We don't need to go out. And, and what I've noticed from my role, my business, people want to hang out more. Like they want to go back into an office and be around people and use that as like a social space as much as anything else. More so now than even a year ago or even 6 months ago. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of like lonely at home. I'm not really a fan of being at home. Even really technical people that have historically been or stereotyped as like, oh, these are like heads down, earphones on. Like,
right.
I think people are starting to learn that like there's a limit to isolation and we are coming to that. And then there is the, you know, the percentage that do like to be on their own and would like live in a lighthouse for 6 months at a time and, you know, like and not talk to anybody and bring like a ton of books. I think there are people out there like that, but they're a small number. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm too social for that.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's why you're in what you do. That's why we're in this occupation. But that's good. Well, yeah, I mean, we got to do this again sometime. I like it. I like to catch up. Yeah. I like the end of year resolutions. I'm delighted we got to do this. So thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah, I'm very happy for you, the success that you're having, and appreciate all the great tips on starting a business and catching up with you, man. Thanks again for doing this.
Yeah, cheers, buddy. Thanks. Take care.
This has been In the Right Mind with your host, Chris Wright. Join us again next Thursday for another illuminating and inspiring conversation. New episodes of In the Right Mind drop every Thursday. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. For updates and exclusive content, follow us on social media at @rightsmind. Sign up for our mailing list at rightsmind.com to get access to even more behind-the-scenes content, insights, and special offers. Thank you for being a part of our community and for supporting the mission of In the Right Mind. We're all on our own unique journey. It's important that we share our experiences and learn from each other. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and always keep your mind in the right place.